Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Welcome once again to the Elevated Places Network. And tonight, of course, is Thursday night. And we are bringing you Ask Minister Ava with myself, your host, Sister Ava Muhammad, my eminently qualified co-host, and also head of talent procurement for the Elevated Places program, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Yes, indeed. And, of course, we have our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, and our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, host of A Time for Justice, which airs each and every Tuesday evening at 7 Central, 8 Eastern, right here on Elevated Places Network. That's blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. You can call in to A Time for Justice just as you can for tonight's program. And we see they're queuing up. Call-in number is 563-999-3065. It is an honor and it is a blessing to be with you. This evening, I am must bring you news, though, that we lost a sister at Mosque Number 55 in Memphis, Tennessee, Sister Edna Muhammad, who, as a very young Muslim, lived in Chicago and was right there with us in the Final Call building in the early days, the earliest time of the rebuilding. And I understand that when hearing of her loss, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that was one of my soldiers. She was killed in an automobile accident. And we pray that Allah will be pleased with her. And we pray that Allah will embrace her husband, her son, her family, the believers at 55, and all who were blessed to have known her, Sister Edna Muhammad. We have a profound and exciting program for you tonight. We are going to be joined by the national correspondent for the Final Call newspaper, Sister Charlene Muhammad, who just published such a powerful interview with Sister Tamra Muhammad, a fourth-generation Muslim, fourth generation in the Nation of Islam. She holds her Bachelor of Science in Nursing. She's a registered nurse and has worked right inside of the COVID IC unit. She's based in Memphis. and she has taken time from an extremely busy schedule, and she will be on with us later this evening. And with that, I want to, there's a lot of events coming up in the nation too. Want to turn the rostrum, the microphone over to Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam. You know, there's so much, and once again, we're just excited to be back once again on Ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. And we're going to have a wonderful and powerful discussion. And it just, you know, it's a beautiful thing, Dr. Ava, when we say stuff at the show, and I don't really sometimes think, you know, people may think that what we say and what we do and what we talk about is cliche, you know, and what we're expressing and what we're sharing with everybody is just cliche, and that we don't mean what we say. We really do mean, continue to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We're not just playing. We're not just saying that.
Right.
We say go back, listen to, hear the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I think, you know, really what it is, Dr. Ava, is that as, you know, as we was growing up as children, our parents told us this and gave us guidance and understanding of lessons. But we had to grow into the knowledge of certain things and understand it as we grew. And I think sometimes, you know, and the job of those that may know is just to re-encourage, you know, and to remind. And then to hopefully at some point they will see or they will get to a place where we now both can understand. You see what I'm saying? Oh, now I get it. Yes, and then we can continue to grow on. And I say that is because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked about the unraveling of a great nation, Savior's Day 2020, and it's still going on, Dr. Ava. It's still going on as legislation is going on. I'm looking at the getting ready for the midterms. I'm looking at different things and different laws and gun laws, and there's a lot going on across the country, and particularly in particular states. The Roe versus Wade situation is not necessarily that case, but when you start looking at how state rights and people are giving federal law allowing states to do what they want to do or certain states doing what they want, it almost puts you back into the Confederates and the North. You know, it almost puts you back into that, like, well, we're going to do what we're going to do, and we're going to do what we want to do. And if we're not careful, our best and only solution is separation. We must know it, go ahead and get ourselves prepared to do what we need to do, because other folks are rolling back the different privileges and wonderful beauties that we think we have, but we was pre-warned in a book called Fall of America by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we have a guide and a warning in our midst in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I'm just saying that because the minister told us about an unraveling of a great nation. And then as we're going to talk later tonight, the criterion is still current. The criterion is like, it's still fresh. It's still good. It's still edible. You can go get some good nutrients and good digestion from the criterion July 4th, 2020, from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and more is being revealed about it. We had a whole show about ivermectin, and we talked about that battle and that victory that was on the front edition of the Final Call newspaper. But there's so much more that's going on. So I just always say continue to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And as you open with the loss of our sister, you know, it made me think, I was getting to say that, you know, I was like, what can we talk about tonight? And I was like, sometimes it's the things that we don't talk about that we need to talk about, and that is just appreciating life, appreciating our health, taking our health for granted. I had a friend call the other week and said that their mother passed, and I'm like, well, what happened? What's going on? It's like, no, the mother just passed. Just like there was no signs, there was no alarms, there was no bells, whistles, just boom. And I think sometimes we take for granted who's in our midst while they're in our midst. We take for granted, you know, the blessings that we have, you know, that we can walk and we can jump, we can talk, we can move, you know. And then when you realize, oh, I got an ailment or my legs hurt or something, then we start thinking a lot for the blessings that we have. You know, it's only when they're not there that we start to call on Allah, but we don't thank God for the many, many blessings. And I remember Brother Ishmael said one time, we're talking about the fingernail. You know, the fingernail just there. But let's might have pulled that fingernail back. You talking about some pain or just the uncomfortable feeling of not having it there and something touching your finger. You know, so it's these different things that sometimes we take for granted and the benefits. And I'm just saying that we take we take for granted who's in our midst. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So we heard one lecture. Oh, that was good. Got stats and stats, and we got books, and it's almost like we got things that we have accumulated, but have we digested anything? You know, it's almost we had a good meal, but did we ever digest it? Did we ever take it in? Did we ever get the nutrients from it? And I just want us to be able to be blessed. So the other day I actually went and sat in the sun and just enjoyed being outside and taking a moment and being in the sun. And I'll just say that while we're in these moments and times, the life that we have, and cherish family and cherish those that are amongst us. And a sister said last night, it is a great day to be a member of the Nation of Islam. Now, for those that may not be, quote-unquote, registered members of the Nation of Islam, it's a great day to be in the kingdom of God. It's a great day to be the people, the chosen people of God. We're in the day of the coming of God. And we are in the present in the day of the manifestation of the true and living God. It's a great day to be alive. So I'm just happy to be on this show for tonight. And we continue to ask people to support you, Dr. Ava. Go to MinisterAva.com and make sure that you get all of the things that are out there. And come on Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern to NOI.org to get life-giving teachings and get that boldest and baddest Final Call newspaper, The Final Call. Go to finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com, and get your subscription. Or just go to finalcall.com and make sure that you listen and hear and get that word. And then make sure you still look at the COVID section, look at all of the sections that's in The Final Call from cover to cover, because it's always a good, great message that's delivered every week in The Final Call newspaper. So it's a lot, like you said, Dr. Ava, it's a lot going on across the nation as we're watching, you know, people mourning the loss of black lives, seeking justice still for black lives. And once again, we have to start to honor our own black lives and our own black communities for anybody else, because this killing that we have seen time and time again, I don't see it ever stopping with no legislation, and not enough protests will stop this America from killing black people ever since we have been here. So we must do what we have been warned and taught to do and take the guidance from the guide in our midst, in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that's why this show is so important, because this helps us to elevate our minds into the thinking of God so we can do what is necessary to come together in unity to follow the divine instructions and move out on those instructions and not just have great debates and conversations, but actually move on the word that has been given to us in clear guidance and clear instructions. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Good and timely words that emanate from real life experience. And I think we all needed that, Brother Terrence, you know, to pause and be grateful for the time that Allah has given us to be part of His creation.
Right.
And to be able to see the magnificence of his creation. And as you said, there's this taking of granted. We do fall into taking things for granted. You know, of the elements of life, the most essential is breathing. Those essential elements in the third dimension. We need air, we need water, and we need food. But first on that list is air. And we can go the least amount of time without it. We can only live a few minutes without air. We can go days without water, weeks without food, but just
right.
a few minutes, you know, without air. But as badly as we need it, we don't think about it. We don't think about
right.
it until we don't have any, or until it's restricted or impeded or threatened. And listening to you, you know, that's how we are regarding Allah, God, and his servant, and the one in our midst. We're so accustomed to the minister being a daily part of our landscape. You know, how's the minister? The minister spoke. The minister did this. The minister said that. And there's just this presumption that he'll be here tomorrow, and we
right.
feel the same way with each other.
Right.
And this is a reminder to us that a beloved wife can walk out the door, as Sister Edna did yesterday, on an ordinary day, a summer day, on the way to work. And there's an expectation she'll arrive there, but she never did.
That's right.
And this is happening every day. People, those brothers and sisters in Buffalo, they just went to the supermarket.
That's all.
A very mundane exercise, just part of living, you know. And who expects not to come back from the grocery store? Children dropped off at school.
Listen,
young children.
That's right.
You know, at an elementary school. You drop your children off, you expect to pick them up.
Exactly.
You go out to on a holiday to watch a parade or watch some sort of event. You expect to come back home. And every day we're seeing that is not the case at all. And there is no safe haven except in Allah. He said he's the only reality. You know, everything
That's
else
right.
is an illusion, which means
right.
it can disappear. That's how we know all of us are illusions. I remember Minister Farrakhan saying years ago in a khutbah, he said to us, he said, I'm an illusion and you're an illusion. He said, how do you know? He said, because you're seeing me, but I'll walk out that door and you won't see me.
That's right.
There's a time I will not be there. You can't depend on me being there. You can't depend on me always meeting your expectations. The only one that's always there is Allah God. And so he says of himself, I am the only reality. The rest of us, we come and we go.
That's right.
So I heard you, brother, loud and clear. I don't want to go off too much, but I'm very appreciative of what you said. And with that, we're going to bring to the mic our dear sister and legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. And I'm opening up her mic now. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Pamela.
Wa-alaykum as-salam, Sister Minister Ava Muhammad and Brother Terrence. And to your listeners, you know, praises be to Allah. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show tonight. And I just want to remind everyone about our show on Tuesdays, A Time for Justice, which is on the Elevated Places Network, and it comes on at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Elevated Places at Blog Talk Radio. And we had an interesting conversation this past week. We discussed the impact that COVID is having on the economy and housing and evictions. And we talked about our people who are dealing with homelessness and reentering from prison institutions and some of the barriers, because we have to, you know, look at our people and make sure that we're remembering, you know, what's going on outside of our own individual lives sometimes. And many of us may be suffering from, you know, these different trials is what we're going through right now, Sister Ava. So, again, it was, you know, all praises are due to Allah. We had an excellent show, and, you know, we kind of wanted to lift up the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as always, when articles like "The Black Man Do for Self or Suffer the Consequences," you know, and "Who is the Natural Enemy of the Original Man?" You know, we were able to discuss legal in that round table mindset. So, Sister Ava, I wanted to really fast bring out this article about erosion of rights. And this was in the Final Call this week, July 19th. And it's written by our brother, William P. Muhammad. And I think it's a really interesting article that we want to, you know, I want to give some of the thoughts that Brother William brought out. The one thing we have to be clear on is that the Supreme Court recently ruled, and that ruling has to do with a case called Miranda v. Arizona, which is a 1966 case. And many of us know about Miranda because Miranda is this: you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak to an attorney and to have an attorney present during any questioning. If you cannot afford a lawyer, you will be provided one for you at government expense. And I wanted to read that because I wanted to be clear that you still have the right to have your Miranda warnings read. So make sure that we don't think that this case abolishes that right. But what this case does do is take away a person's right to sue. You can no longer sue the government for violating your rights, your constitutional rights. This is what the Supreme Court ruled in a case called Vega v. Tico. And this was argued around April 20th, 2022. And in this case, as Brother Michael interviewed many people, what they're saying is that a measure of accountability has now been lost. This is Attorney Pearson. Constitutional rights are being, you know, curtailed, because what the court says is that you have the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. And this is in the Constitution, and that means that no person shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against themselves. And this is partly of what Miranda is protecting, because a lot of times when people are in custody or when they're being questioned by police, Miranda protects people by saying, you know, you don't have to me. You know, you have the right to remain silent. Right. But what happens is, and we know with cases like the Central Park Five, I always think about those little boys who, you know, when you're being interrogated and the police are trying to trick you, it's very important that you know that you have the right to remain silent. You know that you have the right to have a lawyer. But what the court found is that if the police don't give you that right, you cannot bring a lawsuit under into federal court. You can't sue them for damages. You can't, you know, bring them into civil court. You know, you got to stay in the state court. Whereas, you know, Sister Ava, even if they violate Miranda, sometimes they still might use that evidence, you know, or they may come up with a way to get around it. And so I think that's where the danger is, because as people are saying in Brother Michael's article, it's it appears to be giving police more immunity. It appears to be giving police, you know, the right now that people don't have the right to redress police violations in civil court. And so, you know, 42 U.S.C. 1983, that was the vehicle that was given where the government could be sued for depriving people's rights. And this is what that case was about, because this man, he didn't get his Miranda warning, so he brought this lawsuit under 42 U.S.C., which is the same law that when people are beat up by the police, police brutality, any other type of government violations, that you can bring a lawsuit. Well, the court says, no, you can no longer bring a lawsuit for violation of your Miranda warning and your Miranda rights. And it's kind of like what you said, Brother Terrence. They're kind of saying that, oh, that's not in the Constitution, because the Fifth Amendment is different from Miranda. Miranda's just to protect the Fifth Amendment, so it's not the same as the Fifth Amendment, which is constitutional. So, you know, we see game playing. And so I just wanted to close that out. You know, that's what I think. I don't believe that the interpretation is valid, because Miranda is to protect your constitutional rights, so I believe that they're the one and the same. And I just wanted to make note that, remember that this law that gave people the right to sue in federal court, that was a law that was enacted during Reconstruction in 1871, when the Ku Klux Klan were knowingly the judges, and they were knowingly circumventing black people's rights and lynching them. And so this law was ability to sue people who under the color of state law deprived people of rights. So, you know, we do see some carving back. And I just wanted to try to, you know, pick a piece a little bit, this Supreme Court recent ruling. But I do want it to be clear that you still have your Miranda rights, and they have to give you your Miranda rights. But you should already know that if you're ever in police custody, don't make statements and do exercise your right to remain silent. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you, Sister Ava. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, and I hope everyone is paying attention, because sometimes we do get played because we dismiss legalities because we don't connect off times, and that's not true of this audience. This is a very astute audience, but you see how quietly and low key this decision was. You know,
that's
under the radar, because the point is, the right against self-incrimination is the constitutional language. It's the Fifth Amendment, and the posture that, well, Miranda protects it, but what good is having a right if it's not protected?
Right.
And see, when you say this, as you're talking, you know what I'm thinking about. The vaccine manufacturers.
Come on.
You can't sue them for death and injury from this COVID vaccine. So if people cannot be held accountable for their actions, what incentive do they have?
That's right.
So if I can beat a confession out of someone and I know the city's not going to get sued, I'm not going to get sued.
Right.
Then this reduces an already limited motive to do this thing correctly.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Because see, when the city has to pay millions of dollars to somebody, that then the word goes down through the department. You know, you're not going to subject us to lawsuits, et cetera. But why not jab everybody in the world with a vaccine? And then say, oh, my bad, it wore out. You're vaccinated. You can still contract the virus. You can still spread the virus. And also, by the way, people are dropping dead left and right. It would be interesting to see Donald Trump's ex-wife, Ivana Trump, dead at the bottom of a staircase today.
Wow.
And on one hand, you know, it's like the people that write the stories and tell the stories are vaccinated because their brain doesn't, they contradict
Come
themselves.
On.
Because on one hand, you say, here's somebody dead at the bottom of a staircase, but there's no indication of foul play and it's unclear what happened. You know, we know this didn't happen naturally. There wasn't any
right.
indication of somebody being ill, but the calling card of the vaccine is people just drop dead.
That's right.
That's one of its traits. People just die for no apparent reason. And a big
yes.
one is they go to sleep and don't wake up the next morning because their heart stops.
Exactly.
But and this is just happening case after case after case. And then you're having all these deaths and there's no reason for them. But then a few days or weeks later, they'll come out and they'll find a reason. But you have to be very, very cautious, very careful, and watch carefully what's going on. But the mandates are being reactivated again, the push for them. Why? Because more boosters are coming out. And you can see the people have been dumbed down because you're not even asking the question, what kind of vaccine is it that I have to take shots over and over and over again? You're
yep.
letting somebody experiment with you, and you're seeing that it's an experiment because they're saying, "Oh, you know what? We just realized this doesn't last as long as we thought." And so the U.S. government just bought another batch worth over $1 billion of this
well.
Product. So we just better stop and think. But thank you so much, Sister Pamela, for that report.
Yes, ma'am. All praises to
and,
thank you.
Yes, ma'am. So we are going to be joined, be it the will of Allah, tonight by a wonderful sister who was featured in the current Final Call newspaper. And you know, we implore you each and every week on this program to get your Final Call newspaper. It is the only place where you're going to find a logical, researched approach to the U.S. depopulation agenda and helping you to understand what is happening with regard to COVID-19, the vaccine, and all of the various policies, all of the various approaches, the restrictions on legal rights that have taken place, the censorship that has occurred since the beginning of this pandemic. And so what I want to do now is open up the line because we have with us tonight someone very dear to us and known to us, and she does incredible work for us as the national correspondent for the Final Call newspaper. And so as we await the arrival of our special, very special guest tonight, Sister Tamara Muhammad, we want to bring in Sister Charlene, who conducted the interview. And what you are reading in the current Final Call is not their complete discussion, not the complete discussion between Sister Tamara and Sister Charlene, but these are excerpts that are listed from it, and they in and of themselves are super powerful. But with that, I want to bring to the microphone our dear sister, Charlene Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Charlene.
Wa alaykum salam. How are you, Minister Ava?
Oh, I'm fine, beloved, by the grace of Allah.
Oh,
how are you?
I'm doing wonderful as well. Thank Allah, and I pray the whole panel is doing the same. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam.
I should have started Bismillah Rahman Rahim in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Boy, it is so good to be back with Elevated Places. Yay! Well, Minister Ava, thank you for assigning this, requesting, whatever we want to call it, this interview with Sister Tamara Muhammad. When you said she's going to be joining us soon, I started praying, like, yes, 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 we must hear from her. She is so phenomenal, and when she speaks about what she knows, number one, what she has and is experiencing, but not only herself and her colleagues, it is mind-blowing. And you're right, Minister Ava, just a fraction of what we talked about is in this issue, and I cannot wait. I'm very excited for people to hear even the tone in which she delivers it. It just makes the hair on your skin stand up because we know it innately, and it just doesn't make sense. Before I speak about my experience in interviewing her, and we actually talked for hours twice, I want to just say that to your point about what's happening with these injections, you know, they're available right now for children 6 months. The FDA has emergency use authorization for 6 months old. Let me say, we think about our grandchildren or our nieces and nephews for everyone on the phone or our children, right? I have a 10-month-old. Minister Ava, your grandbabies are toddlers, right? This is outlandish.
Yeah, look, you're
and
five,
so when you,
5 inches. And I got
five
a
and six.
grandniece who's one. Yeah.
Adorable. See, just hearing the ages of these young gods, right, brings a big smile to my face. And so what I wanted to make you all aware of, in case you don't know, you know, this death plot, and first of all praise is due to Allah, this COVID section, it wows me every time. Just the visual, just the announcement that something's coming in between, you know, the special section graphic image award. Look, image award, it should have one. It's really beautiful, and I love how it just lays out what we have coming. It gives us the stats every week, and it reminds us of the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He says, brothers and sisters, do not take the COVID-19 vaccine. But they're not in Mississippi and Alabama, where we know in the South, but predominantly they want to kill us, and they're on the move to kill our people wherever we are across the world. But that Bible Belt really catches H-E double hockey sticks, right? And so in Mississippi and Alabama, Politico has reported that the distrust in government, the distrust in public health, and the distrust in science is growing. And check this out, Minister Ava, it's very, very worrisome, you all, and I love it. You know, it should be worrisome because you're coming to kill people's children. That's according to a so-called vaccine expert at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. But they're rolling this out, and they're saying never before has there been this much hesitancy in people wanting to, they say ambivalence, okay, in wanting to give this to their children when a vaccine has been given to billions of people before. Now, isn't that amazing that you're upset because you want to inject this? But these parents, as it has been stated on Elevated Places before, these parents are experiencing the effects. So they're like, well, run, child. Run as fast as you can. So anyway, I wanted to just point that out. There is a low demand for young children getting this vaccine, and the doctors are alarmed. Well, praise be to Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the criterion.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Praise be
That's
to
right.
Allah.
Yeah.
Well, we have and, right now. Oh, go ahead, Sister Shelley.
No, ma'am. We have her?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now I'm waiting. Thank you. I have nothing else to say.
Okay. Yes. Okay, we have now on our live line, our guest line, Sister Tamra Muhammad, who is a fourth generation registered Muslim in the Nation of Islam. And this beautiful sister is quite accomplished. She holds her Bachelor of Science in Nursing and is an RN. And she currently works at a COVID intensive care unit. And she's we have a Brother Hoyle is somewhere on the line. Memphis just shows out on this program.
Come on.
That's right.
But I just realized the Memphis connection. And I think it was through Sister Donna Muhammad that I learned of the great work that Sister Tamra is doing. And, of course, we discussed this interview and this article yesterday in the executive council meeting. And I am really urging... I'm about to go on a full-fledged promo on my social media platforms for this article, and the Minister Farrakhan has read through it very carefully. That's why it's in the paper, of course.
Come on,
for those
come
of
on.
You who may not realize, he is the publisher of the Final Farmers paper, and you know, if you want to stay in aligned and in harmony with the minister and the nation and our platform and position on the world's issues, then this is the place to go. There is no other place.
Well,
for the current present reality to go to. So with all of that said, I want to welcome you, sister, my dear Sister Tamra, to Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum, beloved. Let me start with that.
Wa alaikum salam, family. Oh, wow. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, to whom praise I do forever. Thank you, family. I am honored and super humbled. And yes, Sister Ava, our hearts are heavy
yes,
for Memphis. I'm not even there, but I can feel the believers. And they are a very tight-knit family. And Brother Muthahir, praise be to Allah, his wife, they lead with love and kindness and such a pastoral type of way. I love you, family. So, praise be to Allah. May Allah be pleased by your sister. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence and Sister Pamela, Sister Shaqeem, and Brother Terrence, I thank you for talking about gratefulness because Sister Ava, I have watched you in this walk, and I thank Allah for your expression of Islam. You have been a tremendous impact on my life.
Praise
as a black woman going through Islam. I've watched you since I was 19 years old. My mother, my children are listening, and they were bearing witness that when I was I'm still a young Muslim, but chronologically,
yes,
I used to say, well, who you going to be when you grow up? I'm going to be Sister Ava when I grow up.
Praise
Allah for choosing you to be the disciples of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and your work, your courage, and your defense of our minister and your service to our nation. I thank you. So I'm so thankful to Allah for you. Thank you. I had to say that because, like Brother Terrence said, we are in Allah's, we in the day of our Lord, and our time is precious, right? So I want to
be
so grateful. Yes, ma'am.
Praise be to Allah.
Right.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm humbled. I'm humbled as well, and you know, I'm thinking, listening to you, that was so beautiful. I'm thinking of the minister in Study Guide 15, the characteristic of humility, and it is that characteristic above all that enabled him to withstand all of the trials that he spoke about in the Swan Song, and then many that he didn't even have time to mention. He didn't tell us every last one. And then, of course, the trial of being without his teacher the last nearly 45 years. And so he's such a great example to all of us, and to hear you say that I have been of some measure of value on your journey, and I look at what you have achieved, and you are in every way. You represent the Nation of Islam putting its best foot forward. I was so pleased, and I told Sister Charlene, I told the editorial staff how pleased I was with the graphics. And the photo of our sister, who is a beautiful sister. And, you know, we're returning to that time of the upliftment and the demonstration of the beauty of the black woman, and in the review of the fashion weekend with Sister Carmen, the photo of Sister Naseva at the Grammys, and then to see Sister Tamara, just stunning, you know, all of them natural. Natural beauties, this pivot that Allah is making the world undergo to submit, and it's the manifestation of Master Farid Muhammad saying he was going to sit us on top of civilization and declare us the most beautiful. But even more so is the content, and I wanted to, maybe Sister Charlene, you might start with what you might think is the most critical lead-in point of this beautiful article. And like I said, we talked about this in the council meeting. There's no words wasted when you ask questions and when Sister Tamara answers. It's just beautifully done. And it just obliterates everything untrue that may be going on, and it advances truth, and above all advances the God and the teachings and how to eat to live as our salvation.
This is so beautiful. All praises be to Allah. Malaykum Salami, Sister Tamara. Minister Ava, you know, that's a hard question, actually, because every one of those could be like side by side in terms of the areas that we touched on in this one. But I would really say the therapies, her 14 therapies, really, for me, I think are lead in. And then, of course, the ivermectin piece. And then next, I would say the PCR, but it's hard to rank them like that. But these are three of the key points that to begin on, because number one, I say the 14 therapies that Sister Tamara lays out in terms of maintaining her regimen for maintaining her immune system and overall health is because it was given to us by the God himself, by the Christ, by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right, from God in person. And it's not only just things about the actual teachings, the spiritual food. And when, again, when you look at her, just stunning, just inside and out when you hear her. So I won't belabor the point. I would say with her regimen, that she mentions, which is the regimen
okay.
given by the God, and ivermectin, because of, you know, we just had this major win, this victory from Master Prophet Muhammad with our beloved Dr. Safia Shabazz, you, the legal team for the nation's general council, and the victory for the Nation of Islam and how they are consistently dogging that, but her truth about it there. And then, of course, she lifted your article, and again, you and your effort in the warning of us with that PCR test. So that's it. Those three to begin with, you know.
All right. All right. Well, Sister Tamara, why don't you tell us, and you know, I am anxious to hear about family life, too, about growing up in the sphere of the Nation of Islam going back several generations, because that's rare
right.
in and of itself. And, you know, we're just, the nation's grateful to your entire family. Let's talk about that. They
Come on,
deserve
Come on,
mad props, okay? So the consistency yes. and stability, you know, of the belief. But tell us about growing up a Muslim, and now you have this personal regimen that I think bears witness to what we can look forward to producing once we stay true to this. But you go right ahead.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah. So my great-grandmother, we call her affectionately Mama Cassie, but her slave name was Cassie X. Beard, and she died at transitioned at 104. She joined the ranks around the same time as my grandmother, Hazel X. Nesbitt, which is my mother. So my mother is still here, Hazel, so that's the third, Hazel. Muhammad, and then myself, Muhammad, and now my son, Ishmael Muhammad, and I'm praise to Allah, newly grandmother, Saeed Muhammad.
Whoa!
So, yes, ma'am. So I just wanted to say, family, and being all humble, like, sister, we don't go around and say that, oh, we're third generation. Well, there's so many believers that know us and don't even know that. Sister Charlene didn't know that, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm quite sure it's the very first time that so many are hearing that, you know, because one thing I know as a family, we know that we're really undeserving, you know. We're really grateful for Allah for choosing our family for so long, you know. And I was,
yes,
you know, I remember my grandmother saying so many times, you know, and I had this conversation with my son. We talked about this, my son. And I would say to them, you know, I'm grateful for my grandmother and my great-grandmother, and not just that, Sister Ava and everyone else. That we have a host of cousins, a host of great aunts. I had a aunt that transitioned. She used to be a captain. And I have to mention I had other family. So Aunt Amina, Sabir was her name, Aunt Froni. So my mother didn't grow up to that eye with opposition to our family members being in Christianity. It was so many that was in the ranks. So I don't know what it's like. I hear the believers talk about how they fight their parents or fight their, you know, or with Christianity. We never went through that type of adversity. We have no, we couldn't even give guidance counseling to that. We never went through. So, but going back to what I was saying with children, I had told my children, I said, you know, we're here because of the sacrifice. You know, our grace and mercy also come from the prayers, the belief, and the sacrifice of those who came before us. And that brings us to family, to page 59, and our Savior has arrived. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, give your families, your babies, my best love. Tell them the messenger is praying that they grow up in the faith of their black God, Allah, and in his true religion of entire submission to his will, Islam, and that they live as we live in the faith of Allah. So I'm grateful to my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my mother, and my father, my mother and my father, my father, definitely FOI. My grandfather was FOI. Like I said, a host of uncles and aunts and cousins. And we as a family experienced ourselves personally the great divide, you know, when the nation failed. We had the whole side of our family go with Brother Amin, and some of them received holy names from Brother Amin. And then we are the only, through my mother, bloodline, that's how we separated too, bloodline that is with the Honorable Miss Liz Farrakhan. And even within our family, we see a tremendous difference. Yes, ma'am, we see a big difference. And like I said, we didn't have adversity with Christians, but we have had some adversity with family that went with Brother Amin. We've had some adversity with that. So, and we have to remind them constantly, you know, you wouldn't be here without the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we can just settle that.
That's right.
You know? So, so that's one way. And I would say personally for myself, growing up this way, my mother's listening, and, you know, back to that gratefulness. I didn't have my first cavity until I was 40. When you apply this applicable to our life, my mother, I didn't know anything about fast food restaurants. The first time I went to, I think it was Hardee's. I went to Hardee's at the age of 18. And my peers laughed at me because I had no idea what to order. They used to say, "Where are you living in the Rock? You know, where you been?" I would say for me, I didn't want my children to grow up. And we're gonna talk 100% tonight. I didn't want my children to grow up socially awkward. Okay, and we tend to do that, you know. So I wanted them to definitely hold on to their expression and their truths, but also be themselves, because that's what we're called to do. So, I like to say this for all the generational Muslims out there, be patient with your parents. They are learning, growing. We watched our parents grow and tend to put that on our children as we grow, and we want our children to walk a tough line. But we see more than we hear. So it's not about what you say. It's about what you do, and we are watching.
Wow.
So I want to make sure my children fall up in all this walk, all my struggles and all of it, you know, but they would be okay. Yeah. And I've made plenty. And I can honestly say, I'm just grateful because there is no other life than this life. There is none. And you can run from it as long. We've done that in our family. Run from it. I will whoop you into submission, and you don't want a whooping like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that. And my mother's listening. We can all bear witness to that. We've come through some serious trials and struggles and been tried and tested, and even in this walk, for sure. Yes.
Yes,
so, I would say the greatest gift we can give our children is definitely the same prayer that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had for us. And the biggest wealth we can give our children is how to eat to live is the greatest wealth. And I'm thankful. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Mom. It was just a way of life. It took me to be so much older to realize, like, wow, I don't know anything about pork. I don't know anything about eating like this, not even television. So... I'm grateful.
Awesome.
So that's the wealth you give your children.
Dr. Ava, you opened this process in a way that was so magnificent, and I just want to give honor and credit to you because you may have started the three different points of the article. But the way you laid it out, it's like, what is your foundation before you even go anywhere? And just hearing our sister's foundation in the nation is going to lay the basis for the rest of this discussion. In other words, how do you see deeper into all this stuff that she found out? She couldn't have done that unless she was rooted in these teachings to know how to navigate. And that's why I think I said on a show before is that whatever anybody out there want to do, we got it in the nation that can show and prove that these teachings are right and exact. So now you got a sister on here, not just somebody just come out to teach. No, she's an RN. She got your degree, your whatever. But she's rooted in these teachings four generations in it, and even to understand her foundation of how to eat to live, and now having the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to look carefully and deeper into. And I say that is because doing some of the work that I do in health disparities, we look at health disparities in the health system with an anti-racism lens, with looking at systemic racism and looking at health disparities. So we have a different lens from a medical way of looking at it versus somebody else. So she's going to look at this and give the answers in a different way, but she has the knowledge. So if someone wants to talk to her about something that's medical or the medical perspective, she can answer it at no limit of time, and articulate it in the way that needs to be articulated. So we're not just having some sister on here. We got somebody rooted in these teachings under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that can go now and answer the next questions that you're going to bring up. But I like how you set it up and the gratitude and gratefulness of these teachings that she has shown and the love that I'm just hearing between the two of what we have in our midst.
May I add to what Brother Terrence has said real quickly?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for acknowledging how she laid it out, Brother Terrence, because, you know, anyone who writes or paints, whatever creation that we're allowed to be a part of by the God, it's pins and needles to know where to place things. And it used to be that in doing interviews, one-on-ones, which I'm starting to do a bit more now, I would just go chronological order because I felt that it would be taking the speaker out of context. But God intervened, as usual, in this because, as we say, last but certainly not least, you know, it's amazing how it's flowing. I love it because we start out talking about her experience with the trend in COVID, but it appears it's the last question and answer, but it's the most powerful because it's, as Terrence said, Brother Terrence, it's the foundation. And so thank you, Minister Ava, for that. I like to repeat, like Dr. Risley says, making me look so smart. Because the layout is really great, and it just lets us know that after everything else fails, here comes Islam, you know, and
if we have
that in the beginning, then we wouldn't need to be here with it in the end, but it's here for us. So I wanted to just add to that, Brother TC, you're absolutely right and correct. You know, they've been valuable to us in so many levels. So thank you for letting me add to that.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I would ask this, Sister Tamara, because, you know, we want to relieve the faith community and then the Black community at large of fears. You know, a lot of this media stoked panic that was induced from the very outset about COVID-19. And I thought it was very powerful when you told us what exactly is happening inside of the medical system, the healthcare system. And if you could talk about that briefly, because right now I see here we go again as the boosters, the next set of boosters get ready. And Sister Charlene was talking about the babies now. They got their desire to be able to vaccinate 0 to 5. What actually is the state of the pandemic from your perspective as someone who deals with those in advanced stages of illness.
Yes, ma'am. So, of course, I've seen them in the critical state, you know, if we're looking from my lens, I would say that COVID is no joke. COVID is no joke.
Man.
And what we do know, and your healthcare providers, those who are unafraid to tell the truth, have been saying it from day one. These people are already sick. So to even say you truly have COVID, you got to realize that's an exacerbation of underlying illnesses. And what that looks like, you could have diabetes for the last 20 years of your life and manage it just fine. You know, you take your insulin, however you manage it, and you take the insulin and your blood sugar goes down. But when you actually contract COVID, there is no management of that blood sugar, and that's how you end up in the ICU. Now we can put you on a drip. So that blood sugar is at 800 right now, and we have you on a drip. And that drip only brings your blood sugar down to 400, 600. That's COVID. That's what we mean by exacerbation, because your medicine worked before, but now it doesn't. And the only time now back to normal or back to, you know, balance again is when the virus has passed your system, when your body has beat the virus. And now your blood sugar has come back down to where it's now manageable for you. So what really happens is that, let's say your blood sugar succumbs you. You didn't die of COVID. You died from diabetes, a diabetic coma. You died of, because we couldn't manage your blood sugars, and neither could you. That's why you came to the hospital. That's why people had fevers for 4 days and would not break. So from the critical part, that's what COVID looks like to us. You know, we sit in the hospital at the whole time of this pandemic. You hear people say all the time, oh, they have COVID. We know that there is no measurement out there to say that you have COVID. None. Not a one. So with that, the only parameter that we had was the exacerbation of your underlying symptoms, something that we can't even manage. We can't even manage. We have to try to manage it, to put you into a safe state till the virus passes through your body. So your body defeats COVID, and then all of a sudden, everything comes back down. So I tell people all the time, no one gets admitted to the hospital just because they have COVID. So we're all out here, we're taking all these fraudulent tests because they mean nothing. They don't. And I really need the family to really reason with us in regards to that. Look at the campaign for the test. Look at the billboards. And as healthcare providers, we sit in the hospital over this because we see all kinds of infectious diseases, HIV, syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, these are problems. And not one of those tests are at your local store on a shelf somewhere that you can buy. Gonorrhea is more prevalent, and hepatitis C is more prevalent than COVID. Those are infectious diseases. They're not on the shelf anywhere where you can just go pick up and buy, but a COVID test is. We got to look at that. I've been saying that forever. These are infectious disease that you can pass on. You can't get rid of hepatitis C. It shuts down your liver and kills you because it messes up your clot infection. I would think that's something. But you can't pick that test up. You got to go in and see a healthcare provider and put an arm and a leg for it. Yes, there's a lot of fear regards to this, you know, and if I could encourage the family, of course I face my fears walking through those doors. And I believe Dr. Akili, and thank you, Dr. Akili. Dr. Akili had me on the show several times talking about this. I want to thank Dr. Akili. And Dr. Akili asked the question, so, you know, about a whole year and a half ago, you know, what do you do with, you know, your anxiety or your fear? You know, because him and I had texted before, and I said, you know, what's going to – COVID is not going to kill us. Fear is going to kill us in this hour, you know. And he said, so what do you do with your fear? And I told my children the same thing because they were also worried about me because when everybody else was on lockdown or shelter in place, I'm the provider for my family. I'm a single woman. I travel. I'm a traveling nurse.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm traveling from state to state. And so I told my family, I say my Shahada before I walk through that door. And I have two, I'm going to share them with you. I say these two things right here. So Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right. Holy Quran 20:46, fear not. Surely I am with you. I do hear and see. We serve a living God that do hear and see. Mm. So I want, you know, pray to let my presence known that I'm here. Allah is with me. Another thing, too, with Allah serving among us, he's given us the best guidance. He said, our iniquities, willfully sinning. So, Sister Charlene, when you asked me about my 14 therapies, he said that the sciences of this world will not solve it and that we had to go to heaven. All I can think about these teachings, going to heaven. All I can think about is that this pestilence from heaven follows our iniquity, willfully sinning. So I got to clean my act up. He said that we will not be punished as long as we are in repentance. So I got to clean my act up so that I could walk. We know that he came for our salvation, and he promised us heaven. No breaking the promise. We is our belief system. Do we believe? So I got to clean my act up. So that's what the 14 therapies is.
Ooh.
That's what it was. Not a drug from Satan.
Ooh.
He can solve it. He has nothing to give me. Plus, I work with them. This is the most barbaric, savagery healthcare system ever. You ask me multiple questions about my family knows. So I'm well off into my 40s, family, pushing up on 50. This stuff, these tests that they, you know, you got to go have a colonoscopy. I've never had one. Because your ICU nurse is in the state for this stuff. I know what they do with those tubes. They have nothing for us. I've never had a mammogram. What we have to understand is that their practice is guided through what pays. The reason why they offer you a mammogram, a colonoscopy, and all this so-called preventive care that they cannot cure nothing, solve nothing for, is because insurance pays out at 100%. Nobody except the rich is getting individualized health care. Right now, if you called me and you said, "Sister, I went to the hospital, and I can line up every drug that they're going to give you. Either you need it or not, because they're all the same. Everybody comes in the hospital, you're going to get dosing, you're going to get Zenko, you're going to get a Colace, you're going to get something for GERD, Protonix, the same stuff.
Payable by insurance.
Only those can get personalized health care. My mother was just recently in the hospital. And literally we denied all their services. She fasted. She came home and she went and they told her she was going to have surgery for a she had an ulcer that had erupted in her stomach. Mm. And inshallah, she'll tell her story one day.
Ooh,
we don't live in a time. Yes, man. We don't live in a time of. These are the days of our Lord. It's a time of obedience. Yeah. So, but yes, we did not have anything. She wanted to fast and came home. She wanted to fast and came home. No, we don't need that. No, we don't need that. Nope, don't want that.
Come on.
And the prayers of the righteous availed much, and she did not need surgery, and we came home.
No, thank you, devil. No, thank you, Mr. Satan.
No, thank you.
Resist Satan, and he will flee from you.
That's right. I work with him, and I tell you, family, it's so, you know, it amazed me how we put a lot of faith, you know. Oh, so the believers have asked me, you know, well, Sister Tammy, you speak so like this about the healthcare system, you know, this is not, you know, what would you take or what would you do? And we have to come up with our own healthcare system, family.
Bottom line.
We have to put more faith and practice into the How to Eat to Live. Master Father Muhammad saw it all. He even saw us through all these times. And we have to be secure with that. So as I was walking in those doors and walking in those hallways, I mean, I did say to Sister Charlene when she called me because I was so full that day. For a while, family, and Sister Donna could bear witness to this. For a while, I felt like I was pulling out my hair. In 2020 and 2021, I was posting things on social media trying to warn the family, like, don't do this, and don't make sure you don't put your family on a ventilator, avoid the ventilator, don't do this, don't do that. And, you know, I felt frustrated, like, no one's listening, you know. And I told Sister Starling, I said I got calmed down because everything happened. In time, it wasn't for me to tell it. I said, because every time I open up the final call newspaper to the deep briefing of COVID, it is if every contributor, the research, the council had a front row seat with me watching this play right out. So it wasn't for me to tell it. It happened to have in time. It was for me to bear witness, and I'm thankful. Mm. I'm thankful.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, praise you, dude.
I'm thankful right now.
Wow.
This is magnificent. This. Oh.
That's right.
And now it's but now it's time to spread this message. I'm sitting here. My mind is on replays of this program.
Come on.
Because Sister Tamara, the clarity, I'm thankful, so thankful to Allah. And I've been getting calls for the longest from the University of Chicago Hospital. I guess I'm on some kind of list. Come in and get your colonoscopy, get this, get that. And I've just been like, no, no, no. But my family, you haven't done this, you haven't done that. You just freed me. You just liberated me. And I think you probably did the same for many of our listeners, because we're at that. At what point do we leave them? At a certain point, we've got to walk away. you know, we're in yet another battle on these religious exemptions. You know, people being threatened, that's bad. Because these people are like the you know, Freddy Krueger or Michael in Halloween. You know, you can kill them a million times, they come back. And so, you know, I raised that issue recently. These skirmishes, they keep us caught up in, you know, to try to keep a job, to try to function. And they make you pay a price to function in their world. And the only solution is to leave their world. And that's what we're hearing in the most beautiful way right now. This is absolutely beautiful. All I can say right now, too, is I know your family's working on a book. I just know that.
Well.
That's right.
First in line to get that bad boy. Okay. First.
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to know I'm first in line. But
come
if you
on,
all
man.
Don't write a book, you all are in trouble with me. I'm going to walk to Memphis and say something about it. Because I am fired up. I am fired up. So we got a whole bunch of people with their hands up to come on. And let's start with the one and only Sister Ula.
Yes,
comment.
Ma'am.
I know she loves
yes.
this. I know you love
oh,
this.
Oh, my goodness.
Sister.
Yeah, you know me, don't
how
you, Sister Amy? All praise mm-hmm. to Allah. Can you hear me? Oh, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Oh, we
okay.
hear you.
Yes,
yes.
ma'am. All praise due to Allah for the honorable life of Muhammad. All through his book, there is no cure in doctor's medicine. We can take it all our lives until it kills us. And here is a witness bearer to the teaching. I have been
That's
ostracized.
Right.
I've been threatened. People tell me I shouldn't talk against these doctors, but here we have a divinely presented witness bearer to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Here I am, 16 years old, ha, 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 and I don't take any medication, 1,400 bicycles per day, 200 touch my toes and other exercises, bean soup, bake my own bread, thanks to Dr. Wrigley, eat bread, not half. All praise due to Allah for the honorable life of Muhammad. I'm not going to stay on the phone long. I want other listeners to call in. But thank you, my dear sister. You are a gift from Allah.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Thank you, Sister Ula.
Thank
sister
you, Sister Ula. I love you.
Oh, yes. I love you, too, because you are such a strong adherent to how to eat to live. And this is a call. I mean, it's time for the exodus.
Mm-hmm.
It's time. Because, you know, I love hearing a health professional, okay, not just Pookie talking, but I'm sorry. I still like credentials to some. You give me some experience.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, this, I am so liberated, Sister Tamara. We got Brother Daryl, who is also, I try to get our regular callers first. Brother Daryl, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Dr. Ava and Brother Terrence and Sister Rona and Pamela, all of those that are listening. All praise due to Allah. May peace and blessing go out to our beloved sister. May Allah be pleased with her and her family, strengthen her husband.
I just got
hit with COVID the second time last year. I bounced right through it. 24 hours, nah, this time it kind of grabbed me. Thank Allah for the eyes and throat. I did the last one today, so may Allah put some prayers in there. I get a speedy recovery. I thank God I can still breathe pretty good. I do have asthma, but thank God that it's, the Ivermax of this happened, but I'm still going through my little chills and aching. So I don't know what would be the next thing for that. Is there anyone that give me some advice on the pain or the aching in the joint? Just any rest or what should I do go forward?
Yes, sir. May I answer? Dear brother, I want to definitely give value to your symptoms, but I wanted to let everybody aware that a lot of the things we did to our critical ill patients, the moment we stopped putting them on ventilators, they started to survive. All know that healthy people go on a ventilator have an 80% chance of not coming off that ventilator. That's because we pretty much control everything. Your breathing, your blood pressure, everything, and you're not moving. Okay? Now we put a sick person on the ventilator, more likely they're not. So sort of at the end of 2020, beginning of 2021, that's when that whole protocol started forward. And so we did everything possible not to go there. So we put people on oxygen, BiPAP, CPAP. So what I'm getting to is that now we're able to talk to our patients. One of the biggest things that was so effective with our patients was affirmations, encouragement, the mental mind. So I want to encourage everyone out there, I'll say it again, there is no measurement out there that this white man has come up with, and they know this. You're not going to get a lot of healthcare providers to tell you this because they don't serve the God I serve. So there's no measurement out there. So when you go out here and you take a fraudulent test that cannot tell you your status, even when they even give you a disclaimer with the test, they give you a printout. You should read it. And I encourage everyone to replace the word COVID-19 with HIV. And I say that because it sort of reads like this. This test basically tells you that it's not FDA approved. It's still an emergency use authorization test, not approved by the FDA. And it says if this test is negative, it does not mean that you have COVID-19. So let's replace that with HIV. It does not mean you have HIV. If this test is positive, it does not mean you have COVID. That's replaced with HIV. You will ask your question, what I just said. That means you will literally ask yourself, do I or do I not have HIV? So in a sense, we are playing with our psyche, and that's so powerful. I just said a big part of therapy in the hospital with critical patients was affirmation. Their fatigueness, their muscle pains were so severe, they came in the hospital walking. And now they can't walk because they're just that fatigued. Their muscle pains are that severe. So we're encouraging them. You must get up and walk. Come on, let's get up. Let's walk. You can do it. Look how powerful the mental mind is. So we're out here taking a fraudulent test. Imagine what we've just done to our psyche. You just told yourself you have something that you may not have. So I want to encourage everybody to become good stewards over their body. Know their body, become better advocates. Do not get swam up in the propaganda, the fear, the trap. You're going to know if something's wrong. If you're a person that has always gotten sick 2-3 times a year, cold, the flu, it's probably still your time that you got sick with the cold and the flu again. Today we still believe every time we have a sniffle, that's COVID.
Teach.
I want to encourage everyone to know that loss of taste and smell, fatigue, body aches are the same signs and symptoms as flu and the common cold. Here you just heard from a person that's telling you when you have COVID likes to exacerbate your underlying symptoms.
Wow.
Okay? But also, look how I also explained how we fought back COVID with even affirmations.
My God.
I pray that makes
look at Allah working.
Let me say this too, family. Everybody, a lot of people are out here walking around trying to be experts in COVID. And even a lot of doctors. These doctors left the hospital in 2020. They no longer had to show up at the bedside. They could do telemedicine. And a lot of them still have not returned. That means they have not even been in the room with COVID.
Wow.
Think about all the people right now doing telemedicine with your provider. Your nurses, you got to give it to them. They were called heroes in 2020, became zeros in 2021 when the vaccine came out. Because they did not support the vaccine, because we survived. So let me say this. I say all this to say this. A lot of people out here, you are suspected to be with COVID because there is no test. That means you are suspected to be with COVID. Your critical care nurses are not suspected. They are in there with COVID. So you got to ask yourself, how come they're not dying? They are the population with COVID. How come they don't have a death rate? How did we survive? How are we surviving? I was sick in 2019 of December. I had not had a common cold. I've never had the flu my whole life. I don't get sick. December of 2019, I got sick. And our beloved student minister, Brother Muthakir's wife, Sister Muthakir, can bear witness. She called to check on me to see how I was doing. And I also saw her at the mosque, and I told her, I said, you know, something's going on. Something's wrong. I said, I'm never sick. I said, and our patients, this is in 2019, this is before America announced that there was a pandemic. And I said, all the nurses are getting sick. Our patients are sicker than sicker than sicker. Like, we have an expression in ICU where we say people are circling the drain, meaning they're really sick. They're circling the death drain, like they can go down any minute. No, folks are going down. And we were throwing them on ventilators, and they were going down. I'm like, folks are – and then we look back at their history. Some of them, all they had was obesity. And how come we could not – like I gave the example of the diabetes. How come we couldn't get that – in the past, you could get that blood sugar of 800 down. How come we couldn't get it down now?
Wow.
People got temperatures that won't break. I expressed this to her. I said, something's up. Something's wrong. When I tell you, beloved, I was so sick, my mother took care of me. I don't sit down. I had been traveling at that time for 7+ years as a CV ICU nurse, cardiovascular ICU nurse. And I had every sign and symptom of COVID you can think of. When I was pregnant with my second child, who threw out my patient, and I have what you call symptomatic bradycardia, and my doctor back then told me it will go away. My patient will come back the moment I deliver my baby. She was right, and she told me for the rest of my life to constantly watch that, watch your bradycardia. They call it also an athlete heart, meaning my heart rate pumps between 40 and 50 or lower. At the time I got sick in December 2019, I went to go see a cardiovascular doctor. I failed a stress test. He told me he's going to put a pacer in me to pace my heart. I told him, again, no, sir. I went on a fast. The believers can even bear witness to this. They watched me go through this at 55. I went on a fast. And I told him, give me a couple months and I'll come back and pass that test. I'm not getting no pacer. When I looked, and that's exactly what happened. I went back and I passed that stress test, and I don't have a pacer. My pacer kicked right back in. When I look back in hindsight at that, I will say that I had COVID. I had COVID. Because COVID exacerbated my underlying symptoms. I was confused. My O2 saturations wouldn't come above an 80. My mother's also a nurse. So I'm a generational nurse as well. But my mother's also a nurse. She monitored me and she said, oh, we need to take you into the hospital. This is critical. So I just want to lay that on the table that even myself as a so-called healthy person, but I have an underlying illness, which is what I got during pregnancy.
Yes, ma'am.
But look how it ravished me. Look how it ravished. Look what it does. So we got to become better stewards over our health and know that if you had the same symptoms you had a year ago or 2 years or 3 years ago when you had the flu, more likely you got the flu. But if you go out here and take a fraudulent test and that only picks up any virus, meaning the rhinovirus means common cold, or the flu, any virus. I'm going to also give you this. We hear a lot about variants. We know that there are variants because we heard that by our beloved minister, that this thing switches up and changes and they don't know which way for it to go. But let me tell you this. When it comes to that test, I've never seen on a patient's chart Delta variant. Omicron variant. I've only seen SARS-2 COVID-19. So even the so-called test can't tell you which variant it was. They will tell you that commentary or say those things because that's what the CDC said. But the test didn't isolate what variant you had. There is no sophisticated test out here to do that. And I don't want to jump ahead, but I want to say this, family. Plenty of patients that I care for, so many other providers that had COVID, had every sign, this is what was stated in the article, that had every sign and symptom of COVID. And they will repeatedly test negative on that COVID test. And they were treated for COVID, too, in the ICU. Because they got sick. Now, what about the patients in other units? Because everybody coming in the hospital get tested for COVID. Everybody except the employees, such as myself. I've never had a test, ever. I've never even been asked to have a test. In the beginning of the, I'll share this with you, in the beginning of the pandemic, a lot were taking tests so that they could be off work. Well, that privilege was, we weren't privileged to that as ICU nurses. So some nurses thought they'd be slick, and there weren't even tests that they would give to us. The nurses who wanted to get a test to think they were going to be off work for 2 weeks because the rest of the world could be off for 2 weeks and get paid, that wasn't us. So they won't have no signs and symptoms, but they figure, you know what? They knew how fraudulent the test was or how faulty it was. I'm going to go get the test, and I'm going to be off work for 2 weeks. They come back, the test says positive. They have no signs and symptoms, but they give it to the employer, and the employer let them work positive. Think about that. I work with many nurses that test positive over and over again with COVID. And there is and there is plenty of patients who come into the hospital, like I said in the article, that will come in with a hip replacement or whatever thing unrelated to COVID, but everybody gets tested, and they will test positive for COVID and won't have not one sign or symptom. And they will not be treated for COVID, and they go home and be fine. Because the test does not guide treatment in the hospital. And that's exactly what your disclaimer says when you take the test. When you get your test, I want you to read all the way over it. But I say replace COVID-19 with HIV. And you'll be like, I'm confused. Why do I not have it? It never tells you that you have it. It does not give you a definitive answer because it's a screening test and not a diagnostic test. Not diagnostic.
Wow. Teach us.
Minister Ava, I was floored during the interview. You see why now, right? I was rendered speechless many times.
I don't even know what to say. But we're in a time where we're in judgment. We're in the end of the one world and new one coming in. But what I just heard is what it is that makes COVID-19 a pestilence. It's what I heard Sister Tamara say several times, multiple times, emphasize the way the minister does getting a point across. It exacerbates our underlying conditions. We're being shown it's not COVID that's killing us. It's we're being shown what is killing us. It's showing us. And thank you, Sister Tamara, for walking us back through the criterion and pointing out some key things that get lost in the neurosis and the fear that has taken on epidemic proportions about repentance. That's the solution. He didn't say there is no solution. He told the enemy, you won't solve it because they won't repent.
Right.
But I'm sitting here just being, this is a whipping I'm getting, but it's a beautiful whipping, you know. Like, get it to, right. Like, girl, okay? How many ways is, you can see we're in a time of mercy to get this?
Yes.
And who we're getting it from and her background and a family divided and one branch came this way? This is mind blowing. This is totally mind blowing. Sister Tamara, I'm just hugging you through the phone. Let's get back to my brain is spaghetti. Let's see. There's a sister on here that is a new caller. Looks like I went. Oh, here she is, Sister Sajda Mariam. Sister Sajda, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava. Sister Ava, and to all your lovely people on the panel, I give a greeting in the name of Allah, who came in the person of Master W.D. Fahd Muhammad, name of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ, and the name of that Christ for him on earth, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. I just want to say thank you for your guests, for all your work that you've done for us over the years. And I also want to thank Allah for our sister Etna, who has been a soldier, like Minister Farrakhan said, back in the day in Chicago. Yes. Sister Ava, you, Sister Patricia, and all those of us who work with Come Sister on. Millie. I'm so thankful for that sister, because she worked hard. We all work shoulder to shoulder, but Allah bless us to make it through that rough time. But all praise is due to Allah, and I'm so thankful for all the information that sister shared. I'm not a nurse, but I have been doing my research and also listening to Dr. Aleem and reading the paper and doing, and I know everything she said is correct, and I'm so glad she bear witness to the truth, and that our people got a chance to hear it. And I just say thank you for all that you've done and for your panel. I love you all. May Allah bless you all with a beautiful, successful night. And I am here in Detroit. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, alaikum salam. Ooh, thank you for this beautiful, beautiful call, Sister Sajda. Thank you. Oh, praise is due to Allah. Oh. All right, time flew because of the power of this program. We got brother Hoyle, one of our top fishermen in the nation.
Assalamu alaikum, beautiful show.
Out of Memphis.
Can you hear? Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me, sister?
Can you hear me, loud and clear, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I'm headed toward your city, Columbus, Ohio. So. I want to thank this sister, and may Allah be pleased with our sister Edna, longtime soldier. And, you know, her husband's a first officer, Mr. Brother W.J. May Allah bless their family. So I want to thank the sister Tamara and her family. Beautiful, beautiful interview. She's right, you know, the body heals itself. And last week, I went to a funeral last Friday. My aunt passed, and I had the chance to talk to my brother, who's an anesthesiologist. And Sister Tamara, my brother spilled the beans, everything she said, you know. And I have another cousin that's a brain surgeon. And my son, you know, Rahman, you met. You know, he got a promotion. He's moving to Nashville. He's going to be over a lab in Nashville. He got a promotion moving from Knoxville to he's in the medical field, too. And he's got a promotion. He'll be moving next month to Nashville, Tennessee. But I just want to back up what Sister Tamara said. You know, I got my brother to spill the beans, and he told me about the ventilator machines and how – the tests were no good, and I'm sitting up here. I said, Sister Tamara's laying it out. And I said, my brother, he's in Atlanta, and he was in, I think, what hospital. He switches around, and he was at Emory at one time, and he moved to another hospital, but he's been in Atlanta for like almost 30 years, about 25 years. And he said the same thing. Sister Tamara said, the tests are no good. And he told me about that poison called remdesivir and how it kills the patients. And I asked him, I said, Pat, I said, you know, I was just asking him questions. And I said, you know, he said he took the shot one time, but he didn't want to take it anymore. He said, Paul, you were right. You know, he said, my white counterparts didn't take it. He said, me being the only black in that hospital, he said, I took it one time, but I refused the second time. And he showed me a knot where he got the shot, and it's still there. So I told, I said, Pat, get you some ivermectin. And my regiment, sisters, I'm in and out of hospitals. I've been doing this business of transport hospital equipment, and I'm in and out of emergencies and ICU. Dropping radiation machines. I have organs and dead bodies sometimes. And I'm, you know, my regiment, I fast every weekend. I take Paximmune, and I've never been sick. I've lost the weight I needed to lose. This is going on almost a year and a half. I, you know, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I fast. And, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to do this once a month. And sister, I haven't had the sniffles, and I'm in and out of hospitals twice a week, different parts of the country. So I bear witness to how to eat to live, like the sister says, fasting, prayer, righteousness. And he told us in this dark hour, our righteousness will sustain us in the dark hour. He said, this is our iniquity. Is, you know, the reason he brought this plague is because of our what? Iniquity. So this goes for all of us, all the Muslims, Christians, and everybody. So Sister brought up beautiful how our righteousness will sustain us, and prayer,
yes,
and obedience. And I do this even though when I'm driving, I do my prayer. I don't close my eyes. So I say, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's prayer. But when I get a chance and I stop and I make my rakahs up. But she's right. The body heals itself. And also, you know, when you take those shots, you test positive for the HIV anyway. But my brother admitted to me this, well, all the things the sister said, and I'm like, wow. This comes, he's been an anesthesiologist for over 25 years. And we had a long discussion. I called him a few days ago, and I mean, the sister laid it out. Beautiful interview. Bring that sister back, Sister Ava, as a guest. You know, she's got an awesome.
I'm trying to
awesome
figure out how to get
yeah
her on a bigger platform than this. But.
Right, right.
This,
that, you
yeah
know, this is just, and her son is a excellent brother. Works with Secretary of Staff, real good, well mannered, beautiful brother. He's about the same age as my son. So, beautiful family. So, may Allah bless her in her endeavors.
Thank Allah.
And beautiful, like I said, family, our righteousness, fasting, and prayer, and following this, how to eat to live, and these are the main things. I was going to tell the brother, what is Daryl? If he can, get some Paxamune. Paxamune is good, too. So ivermectin and Paxamune, I've been using that for 2 years, Paxamune, that interferon, low-dose interferon, and that's helped. That's
yeah
pretty helpful, too. It works. I thought I'd, even if the sniffle comes around, I take about 4 squirts, and I got some ivermectin, too, so... and my fasting every weekend. So, in our righteousness, and but beautiful, beautiful interview. May Allah bless you, Sister Tamara, and keep up the good work, Sister Ava and Sister Charlene. Beautiful work for you with the final call, and Sister Donna, Sister Rona, and Terrence, the big T.
Don't leave brother
my
brother.
I'm gonna catch him on that baby plane. I'm gonna catch him on that baby plane.
Come on,
this
man.
Day.
Catch up. Let's
yes,
go,
sir.
Let's go.
I'm gonna catch up with you. You too fast.
Yes, sir.
And the last one, I bad Dr. Ridley. You out there, brother? He be dropping bombs too. But bring that sister back, Sister Ava. She dropping bombs. Right? She dropping torpedoes. So,
we need her on the. We need her on the rostrum at headquarters.
Yeah, bring them up the shoes.
Yeah.
Get them. Yes, sir, get them.
Yeah.
Hey, we all the talent.
Yes,
look, harvest is right. The harvest is right. Get a bunch of them. It's like the minister said, we got hidden gems out here. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and Allah's bringing them forward.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful show, Sister.
Thank
you keep up
so
the good work, too. Yes,
thank you so much. Appreciate your encouragement. You always have encouraging words, and same to you. You keep it up too.
Yes,
that's
ma'am
right.
May Allah continue to bless you. Thank you, sir.
Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And I think brother Daryl is still on there. Yes, he's still. So he heard what brother Hoyle had to say. We have some callers that haven't been identified yet, so I'm going to go ahead and, since we're really low on time, I have a 229 area code. I'm opening up the line. I know it's a familiar area code. more than familiar. Oh, I hit the jackpot, Dr. Ridley Muhammad.
Oh,
you know, you get nervous when you take those
here
calls
we go
and
let's
they,
get it.
They, there's no name there.
Oh,
assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridley.
Well, alaikum salam. You know, all praise are due to Allah. I read that article. That was Z-Bomb. and she went over so much stuff tonight that's in that article. That article is the bomb. But what I think, I agree that she should be over at Chicago Moss Merriam to give a lecture because she knows the teachings as well. But there's a lot of health professionals out there who've seen the things that she's seen but are afraid to come forward. And hopefully she can be an example to those who have seen those things, and maybe from her they can learn some courage and some strength and start organizing themselves with the group of the willing, what did Bush say, the coalition of the willing, get a coalition of the willing healthcare workers, and let's organize and design something because, you know, we got to have a hospital. So I can really see that we're getting the people together to start organizing and working together and developing for the future, because the enemy has not stopped trying to kill us. Unfortunately, he's killing a lot of his own to get to us, but he's going to continue to try. But this was a great program. Thank you, Sister Tamara, and may Allah bless you and your family. How do you cook? You're a nurse. You got a garden. Oh, I know. Don't look at TV. That's why you got the time. As-salamu alaykum.
Say that. That was a nice swipe. That was a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I do.
Because I tell you, there had to be a lot of dumbing down for them to run this latest scam on us, this whole scam they just ran on us.
That's right.
What did they say in The Godfather? Hyman Roth played this one beautifully, right? Yes. Fear.
Yes, thank you so much for having her on. And
yes,
Charlene, sir. you did a yeoman's job, and continue to go and get the big ones for us and bring them in.
Bring them to the world. Round them up. Truth exposed. And what did the minister say? That he said in the swan song, he said it in several of the more recent messages, but he really emphasized the swan song. Satan must be exposed.
Come on.
Satan must be exposed. And
that's right.
This, and I had a law professor who always said, truth is very simple and clear. And he said, you always know when the judge has been bought out, when he writes a decision that is long and complicated and makes no sense. And there it is. There it is. But Sister Tamara, we do have to have you back, not only here, but we got to get you somewhere where more people can benefit. I'm with Dr. Ridgely on that one. Mm-hmm. We can't hide this light in a bushel basket. You know, we got to be found working to get this out. We got to hit Zoom,
that's right,
rostrums, everything we can. So I just got the 90-second warning. And Sister Tamara, to you and your beautiful family, we thank Allah for you. Your nation is grateful for you. And thank you for taking time from an unreal schedule to join us tonight, beloved.
Thank you. Brother Wiggly, thank you. And Sister Ava, you real fast, you said you like credentials. I've spent the last 7-8 years as a critical care nurse, but I did just graduate as a women's health nurse practitioner and midwife. So I'm in a whole nother state.
Oh my God.
Building my portfolio so that I can
look at you. Oh my God. Hey, look, this is the God tribe, Shabazz. That's the other thing that we're manifesting. The multifaceted genius of the tribe of Shabazz. So to Sister Tamara, to my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela, Muhammad, who am I? I know I'm leaving somebody out because the EP team is growing. And, of course, to our listeners and to the mother of Sister Tamara, our dear sister, is that Sister Hazel?
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks to you. Yes. Thank you, Sister Hazel, for this beautiful, exquisite daughter. And all of you who have tuned in and listened in, may Allah bless us all with love and the light of understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Salam.